Take your Bibles, please, turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. First Timothy 4, verses 1 through 6. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for what you do for us here. Oh, it's quite obvious that the Holy Spirit is here in this place, that your hand of blessing is upon us. And Father, we live in such an evil world, in a world that is totally confused doctrinally. Father, please fill our preacher tonight with your power as he kind of clarifies things for us a bit tonight. Father, please, may we be stronger to go out and help more people for you, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I've entitled this evening's sermon simply Cults, C-U-L-T-S. Let me read a verse to you again. The Bible says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. A man by the name of Charles Manson, a rock and roll cultist, a freak. His followers slaughtered many innocent people. He was a leader of a cult. A man by the name of Jim Jones led a group of people away from America to Guyana, South America. They formed what they called Jonestown. While there, and so you know, Jim Jones got his start in a little city called Lynn, Indiana. I lived 7 miles from Lynn, Indiana all of my life growing up. It was my job at one point when I was a younger man. Our church wanted to start a bus route in Lynn, Indiana. And I took a church bus down to that little city and tried to start a church there. Jim Jones started out in a Pentecostal church. They called him the Dennis the Menace of Lynn, Indiana. He formed a cult. He made himself as if he were God and that he were perfect. They convinced people, well over 1,000 of them, to sell everything they owned, move to Guyana. The people worshipped Jim Jones, did everything that he said. One day, he led them in a mass suicide, 914 of them. They had put poison, and we always said it was Kool-Aid, but they had put some drink together and put poison in it, and they all drank it, and there they all died. A man by the name of David Koresh, Waco, Texas. Many of you will remember we called him the Wacko of Waco, self-pronounced Messiah. I have a friend who pastored in Waco, Texas, and the government tried to get them to come out of they had fortified themselves, these cultists, and they all burnt to death. Cult leaders. I'm talking about false religions, Buddhism, Mohammedism, Christian Science, astrology, the Oriental cults, Catholicism, spiritualism, the Seventh-day Adventists, Unitarianism, thousands of other cults, small and large alike. Now, and let me say something to you. I have no hatred for people that are caught up in false religions. Not at all. The Bible teaches me I'm to love people. It was just 2 Saturdays ago, I'm sure to a degree, I shocked the men in men's prayer meeting when I gave the prayer request that I wanted them to pray for the wife of Saddam Hussein. You say, well, Brother Owens, what a wicked, vile man. He needed to be put to death. I know that. But when he died, his wife still heard. And I am against what he stood for. And I'm for capital punishment. I believe the Bible teaches there's an appropriate time when a life can and should be taken. But I also believe that even when a life is taken, somebody grieves and someone hurts. So I have no vendetta against anybody. Not at all. Not at all. But cultists have cult leaders. And I ought to throw this in here. I do not think that the wise thing to do is for you and for me to get all the books of the cults, get all their false doctrines and teachings and study them. I don't think that at all. I thought that when I was a young man. I was a 16-year-old preacher boy, and I began gathering all these books from all these cults, and I was studying them honestly and sincerely thinking that I would be doing the right or the wise thing because I wanted to find out about them. And I remember the illustration that my daddy gave me. My dad told me about Fort Knox. At that time, at Fort Knox, they kept the gold, the gold, the backing of our gold or our monetary system here in the United States down in Fort Knox, Kentucky. And my dad said, son, can I teach you about how they discover or train someone to discover counterfeit $20 bills? Dad said, son, they don't pick the top 10 counterfeit bills and have these men study them so they can figure out what's wrong with them. My dad said when they train a man to be able to pick out a counterfeit, they give him a pure $20 bill. And I have him study it and study it and study it and study it and study its colors and its printing front and back. And that's all he does is study it. And that man becomes so familiar with that which is pure, when that which is phony or false comes by, he immediately notices it. And Dad said, it's far easier to study the one that's pure than to study the 20 that are false.
Right.
And Dad said, son, if I were you, I'd get rid of all those books and you study your Bible. And son, you become a professional at picking out the false because you will be so familiar with the true. So I'm not one that thinks that we ought to go out and get all these books and things. If ever God were to give us a Bible Institute or a college, we wouldn't be studying all the false cults. We would be studying the Word of God and be so familiar with it that we would understand the false. But if an organization is a false organization, then it probably has a false leader. Cult leaders usually claim to have received some special direction from God. Some say they're the second coming of an angel or some deity or some past well-known religious figure. They claim that they're sent by God for a purpose that the rest of us did not even know existed. They often use the Bible, but not all of it. There are other books and revelations that are man-made and conjured up. Cults major on the minor doctrines and ignore the major ones. Cults usually have a great follow-up program, so you know. They're awful good about wanting to do home Bible studies and booklets, and they work very hard at that. You'll find most of the time, true cults don't invite masses to their meetings. They strategically pick people to attend their meetings. Cult leaders try to take the place of the followers' primary God-given leaders, people like mothers, fathers, pastors, teachers. They thrive on the insecure. They look for those that are insecure. Now, I wonder how many times you've heard me say around here, you better be careful to think that that school over there is there to rear your kids. It is not. It's your job to rear your kids. And that school's over there to aid you and to help you. But the ultimate responsibility of raising a child falls to father and mother as a team. Let me tell you this evening, as quickly as I can, some of the characteristics of a cult. Number one, the Bible is not their final authority and their total authority. Now remember this. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I said, when someone is fiddling around with a cult, or if you want to know a characteristic of a cult, it is that the Bible is not their final authority or their total authority. So let me tell you something. If you're the kind of person that will not let the Bible be your final or total authority, you are a prime candidate to be sucked in by a cult.
Yes, sir.
Because you have already denied the fact that the Bible should be your full authority or your final authority. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I believe that this old black book is God's Word, and it is to be the final authority on all things. His church is not to be ran by me or the deacon board. It's to be ran by this directional book right here. Word for word. We ought to stand for it, fight for it, believe in it, teach it, and this book should be the final authority. The cults, though, they lead you, but their leadings are not from the Scripture. Or they're not from all the Scripture. They say they know what you need, but it's not biblical. They're to let the Bible, and we are to let the Bible, be our final authority on all things. And so, one of the characteristics of a cult is that the Bible is not the final authority. And when I talk about the Bible, I talk about the King James Bible. Secondly, characteristic of a cult. Cults lift some leader up over Jesus, or they lift some leader up over God or the Bible. Job 33:12 says this, "Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man." There never has been a man that was even close to being equal with God, and there never will be. Never will be. Nobody should be lifted up or even equal to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who is all-knowing and the only one that is the everywhere present one. He's the only one that has all power. He is the only one that has ever walked the face of this earth that was perfect. None other has. None other ever will. And anybody that's ever claimed to be sinless has tried to take the place of Jesus Christ. And there are churches that actually teach that the people within that church can become sinless.
Right.
It's cultistic. That is not true. That is not possible. There is only one God, and no man has ever been even close to equal to our God. He is perfect, he was sinless, and he was the Son of God. But cults list some leader up over Jesus, or God up over Jesus, or they have their way of lifting something up above Jesus Christ, the Word of God, or God Himself. Number three, cults believe in works salvation.
Yes, sir.
Cults believe in works salvation. This will be a real little rough for some of you that are weak-kneed Christians, but the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, a cult, the way that they keep their workforce is by teaching you're saved by works.
Right.
Well, folks, we have to work a little harder at keeping the workforce around here because we believe once you get saved according to the Bible, you're always saved. You don't ever have to work again. You're on your way to heaven. I have no leverage over you other than the power and presence of the God of the universe who happens to bless the fact that we teach His salvation is by grace through faith. The teaching of works for salvation is the worst false doctrine that one can teach.
Yes, sir.
Why? It is a damnable heresy. What do you mean by damnable, Brother Owens? It will send your soul to eternal damnation. There's nothing worse than sending someone to hell. By teaching them salvation by anything other than Jesus Christ and trusting Him as Savior. You see, work salvation is totally contrary to the purpose of Jesus' birth, His death, and His resurrection. Totally contrary. Totally. Totally. It goes totally against the whole purpose of Jesus Christ. Cults believe in work salvation. Number four, cults often pull people away from their families. David Koresh said this. He said this to the women in his cult. "I become your husband. I become your husband." He was sleeping with all the women. I'm talking about the 12 and the 13-year-olds. All the women that joined. "I become your husband." He was trying to take the place of a husband. We spend an awful lot of time around here teaching on the family. I want your families close. I wonder how many, we taught a series on the home, took almost 40 weeks in a row. Right now we're on, I think this Wednesday night will be the 16th or the 17th lesson of 30 to 40 lessons that we're going to teach on child rearing. See, the family is to be a picture of the Godhead. You have God the Father. Dad, you're a picture of God the Father. Children, you're a picture of God the Son, Jesus Christ. Leaving, by process of elimination, the ladies are a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. They're the spirit of the home. And God wants the family exalted and uplifted, but you'll find cults want to pull you away. Hey, you know something? I teach around here that even if your mom or your dad are evil, wicked, and vile, you're to love them, you're to be good to them, you're to respect them, you're to honor them. You're not supposed to be like them. There are times when you may have to say, Mom and Dad, I won't participate in that. I can't have anything to do with that. But you are not to be irreverent to your parents, ever. Ever. You're to be good to them. Oh, but the cultists, see, they want to pull someone away from that influence of the primary influences of life. Number five, cults often claim special revelations from God. Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. The Bible says this, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." God told us, I've given you my word, it's good enough, you don't need to add to it. Now listen to some of this terminology. The leaders and cultists and their leaders within a cult, they get what they call their words of knowledge. I've got a word of knowledge. It's a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a finished book. It does not need man to come along and add to it or take away from it. We don't need man's philosophies. We've got God's. But the cultists, they want to add. They claim that God spoke to them things that He didn't speak to the rest of us. Joseph Smith in the Book of Mormon is just one such type of a writing. Oral Roberts saw 100-foot-tall Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, if I see 100-foot-tall Jesus, I'm not telling nobody. You say, you've been on the Jack Daniels here, buddy. When the Pope speaks what he calls ex cathedra, he is saying what they believe is that his interpretation of the Scripture is perfect and infallible. There's no man that is perfect or infallible. The only one was nailed to a tree. Next, number six, cults will not teach the assurance of salvation. And again, some of you need to listen to this. They will not teach the assurance of salvation. Listen, John chapter 10, verse 27, 28, and 29 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." In other words, the Bible teaches this. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. God puts you in His hand, and no man can take you out of His hand. Not even you. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Now, cults won't teach the security of the believer. Why? This is how they hold on to their followers.
Yes, sir.
It is an intimidation. Hey, though they might not even understand it, it is an intimidation method by the devil to keep them there. If you could lose your salvation if you leave us. You can lose your salvation if you don't stay in our organization. You want to know something, folks? You can leave the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church tonight and you're as saved tomorrow as what you were today. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Hey, you go back out of here and you're backslidden as a dog's back leg and crooked and doing wrong, you're still saved. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, I don't think we ought to continue in our sin so that grace may abound. God forbid that we continue therein any longer. But I'll tell you this, once you're saved, you're always saved and you're secure in the Savior. But cults won't teach that. They use the possibility of the loss of salvation as a way to scare people into submission. Number seven, cults want their members to be dependent on the cult. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Notice it says all. All. Could I recommend something to everybody in here? Before you ever go to any human being with any need, take it first to God.
Amen.
Take it first to God. God's timing is always so wonderful, and I don't know about you, but I look for God. I just look for God in things. This evening, I knew I'd preach this sermon. I've had it prepared for a long, long time, but I decided tonight would be the night that God would have it preached. And someone handed me a note, and I'll just tell you, what it said, only a couple people will know what this is, and you don't have to tell anybody that you know who you are or that I know who you are. But God can meet your needs. Someone gave me a note, and it said, "Dear Brother Owens," something to this effect, "me and my children met not long ago on a Sunday morning, and we all met and prayed and said, Lord, there's just not enough money for the rent, and you've got to help us." So they got in their car. They drove to church. Within a few minutes of arriving on the property, someone walked up to them, handed them $450, and said, "This is for your rent." You know, if I were you, I'd go to him first. Hey, we can tell each other about our heartaches and burdens. Hey, it's okay. We can share them. But you're bypassing the primary provider. But see, a cult, they want you dependent on the organization. They want you dependent on that cult. Folks, I want you dependent on God. I want you dependent on Jesus Christ. I want you dependent on this old black book. Right here. This old black book. Let it be the final authority. Let God be your provider. Cults want their members to be dependent on the cult. Number 8. Cult leaders make themselves out to be sinless, and they talk about they have not sinned or their perfection. Oh, I'll tell you what, I remember in Bible college, it was an odd day. In Bible college, I remember it must have been maybe in the 1980s, they had allowed a student, which was so rare, they allowed a student to get up and to preach at chapel one day. He got about a third of the way into his sermon, and he said it had been at least a week since he had sinned. My old antenna went, shoop. My first thought was, "I'd like to see your hands, sir. No nail prints. Human race is not going to go a week without sinning. We don't even realize how bad we are." Somehow this man had gotten into some study that convinced him that he was sinless. He's wrong. Because the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know what happened at my Bible college? He got expelled for false doctrine.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Their leadership in a cult is full of vanity and pride. They insist that they are sinless and perfect. Number 9, many cults deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Maybe the simplest way to describe that term, deity, meaning that Jesus was God. Jesus was God come in the flesh. Now let me read to you a passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." Folks, Jesus was God come in the flesh. We just celebrated Christmas not many days ago. And the term Emmanuel means God with us. The Jehovah Witnesses vehemently deny the deity of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Vehemently deny it. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the people, the watchtower presses. They do not believe that Jesus was God come in the flesh.
Right.
So what have we said so far? The Bible, if you want to know the characteristics of a cult, the Bible is not their final or total authority. Secondly, cults lift some leader up over Jesus, some leader up over God or the Bible. Number 3, cults believe in work salvation. Number 4, cults often pull people away from their family. Number 5, cults often claim special revelations from God that the others have not received. Number 6, cults often will not teach and usually don't teach the assurance of salvation. Number 7, cults want their members to be dependent on the cult, not on the Bible, and not on God. Number 8, cult leaders make themselves out to be sinless or perfect or equal to Jesus. Number 9, cults deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Number 10, cults won't teach or preach the whole counsel of God. They won't teach or preach the whole counsel of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 27 says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. They don't want to preach it all. Like I said earlier in my introductory remarks, they major on minors. They find some little minor thing in the Bible and make a real big deal out of it, and then they almost ignore any major doctrine that exalts someone higher than the cult leader or the church higher than the cult organization. They teach a couple doctrines and those couple small doctrines that they have chosen as their own little pet doctrines, those become the major doctrines of the cult. And so, cults won't teach or preach the whole counsel of God. Number 11. Cults teach that by giving gifts to God beyond the tithe, that is a way you can purchase heaven, or they'll teach that you can purchase special favor from God. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. God's not for sale. He's not for sale.
Right.
A man cannot buy the power of God.
Right.
Now, there is a price to pay, but it has to do with holiness and submission. You can't get the power of God. Now, you'll never get the power of God until you tithe and give offerings as you're supposed to. Never will. Never will. But it is one of many prerequisites, and it is not the top prerequisite for the power of God. You can't buy your way to heaven or buy your way out of hell. You can't buy wisdom. I heard someone say, if you'll give enough money to the church, God will give you extra wisdom. I believe that person is full of baloney. Money won't buy you wisdom. If not, well, if it did, then what's this guy on that's got all these money and all these casinos? Yeah, Donald Trump. He's not wise. If he was, he'd get a new toupee. You can't buy wisdom. You can't buy the power of God. You can't buy things from God. You're to obey God with your finances. That's what you're supposed to do. But cults, boy, they'll play with that financial thing. You can't buy... Hey, listen. Pastors ought to stop and realize people in the congregation are not to be able to buy positions of leadership in the church. Be a cold day in hell before I'll give somebody a position on my deacon board because they try to buy me. I'm not for sale.
Amen.
Not for sale.
Amen.
You don't have to be rich to be a Sunday school teacher at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Matter of fact, thank God, we wouldn't have any. You can't buy influence in the right kind of a church. You earn it.
Good.
Boy, cults.
Yes.
There will be some people that will right out of the gate won't like me. You want to know why? Because I'm not going to let this church become like the other churches where just because you have money, you're special. Now, you're no less special because you have money, but having money doesn't make you any more special. Did you know that souls have no economic status? I know some poor people that love God very, very deeply and greatly, and they're just as good a Christian as some rich person. Now, that doesn't make somebody with money wrong or bad. But I'm just telling you, cults will teach that by giving gifts to God, that you can buy into things of the organization. And that's not taught anywhere in the Bible. What are they doing? Well, you got to raise money for your cult. You got to raise money. You got to figure out ways. So we'll teach people they can lose their salvation. We'll teach them they can work their way to heaven. We'll teach them that if they give money, then they can buy clout. Do you see it all? See that all pulls together? Number 12. Cults have some weird beliefs. Let me read to you a passage of Scripture. It'll take a moment, but for some of you, it'll be just like you've read your Bible after I get done for the day. First Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse number 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing being refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and a good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Now, here the Bible talks about hypocrisies, and it talks about just some strange beliefs. Now, that's what will happen with cults. They come up with some pretty weird stuff. Hey, listen, I'll just tell you. When you hear someone say, "Let me show you something new from the Bible," watch out, watch out, watch out. I apologize. If you're new in this church, you don't ever hear much new out of me. I just got to figure out how to keep preaching the old. There's no new doctrine under the sun. The Christian Science cult. That's Mary Baker Eddy. You know what they believe? They believe that Jesus did not die. They don't. They believe that sin, death, and evil are not even real. It's odd. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." Hey, what kind of fruit are you bringing forth? Have you reproduced yourself in anybody? I'm talking about another soul, a Christian. The Bible says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Watch out. The Bible says here, beware of false prophets. Oh, they have their way of making themselves look like sheep, but they're wolves on the inside. In other words, they're lost and caught into false doctrines. For instance, you ever heard of a doctrine called purgatory? That's nowhere in the book. You know what that is? They say that when someone dies, they kind of get caught in neutral, halfway in between heaven and hell, and they're there to be purged because their final destination is not yet determined. So it's kind of a flip of the coin, and it didn't land on heads or tails either one. And they're stuck in a thing called purgatory. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a false doctrine. Let me go on. Number 13. Cults add doctrines of their own to the Bible. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, "But though we or any or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached, that we..." Let me start over. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." The Apostle Paul said, "You have been presented the gospel of Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul said, "If I leave you and come back in 2 months and try to convince you that the gospel that I purely preached to you has changed," Paul said, "I should be accursed to you." You believe the Bible. Stick with it. Don't let anybody convince you to change. God's not changing the Bible. God's not changing the doctrines of the Bible. I love it. The Apostle Paul had the intestinal fortitude, that's a fancy word for guts, to stand up and say, "Let me tell you something, what I've taught you is right. And if I come back years later and I start liberalizing and I won't believe the same old way, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm going to hold my feet to the fire and stick by the book. Stick by the book. Stick by the book. Stick by the book." You've heard me say this in rearing my children. I say it again to them today. I've told my kids, kids, it's right to go to church. It's right to believe the Bible. It's right to be a soul winner. It's right to be separated. And I taught them why it's right, and I've told my kids, if Dad ever stops doing it, you keep going. Dad will be wrong. You'll be right. Don't determine whether you're going to be a good Christian based on me. Determine it on what is right and wrong. There's some of you, if your parents went astray, you'd go astray overnight. Some of you parents might want to teach your kids, if it's in the Bible, you believe it whether I believe it or not. Or would you be afraid to do that?
Good.
You ought to back your kids if they decide to live right, and you won't. Cults add doctrines of their own, though, to the Bible. Paul said, if anybody, even myself, try to teach you something contrary than what the Bible's taught you, I'm wrong. And the Bible's right. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the second coming's already occurred. It happened in 1914.
Right.
Do you know that they teach that if you salute the American flag, you're an idolater and you've sinned against God? Oh, where's my flag? I know whoever took my flag down better put it back up. They believe that. Do you know that they teach that if you serve in the United States military, that you have sinned against God? Boy, would Joshua be in trouble? Or would Gideon be in trouble? Or Paul, who said that he was a soldier for Jesus Christ. Let me repeat something. I want to add just a touch more and we're finished. What are the characteristics of a cult? The Bible is not their final or total authority. Number two, cults lift leaders up over Jesus, God, and the Bible. Number three, cults believe in works, salvation. Number four, cults often pull people away from their families instead of building up the family unit. Number five, cults often claim special revelations from God. Number six, cults will not teach the assurance of salvation. Number seven, cults want their members to be dependent on the cult instead of God and the Bible. Number eight, cult leaders make themselves out to be sinless or perfect. Number nine, cults deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Number ten, cults won't teach or preach the whole counsel of God. Number 11, cults teach that there are special privileges given to people that give their money. Number 12, cults have weird doctrines and beliefs. Number 13, cults add doctrines of their own to the Bible. Now, say, now, Brother Owens, what should I do? How should I react to cults? Well, first of all, let me say this. I think you could be kind. We're taught to be kind to people. I don't think you ought to go around wanting to start fights. There's somebody in this building, and you know somebody at work, and they're in a cult, and I've got you all stirred up, and tomorrow morning you're going to go and yank their spiritual head right off. I don't want you to do that. Be kind. Now, the Bible says that we should not bid them Godspeed. That doesn't mean you go find some cultist, pat him on the back, and say, buddy, I hope you succeed. No, you're not supposed to do that. Better off saying nothing than bidding them Godspeed, but you need to be kind. It doesn't hurt to say good morning to someone that's in a cult, or it doesn't hurt to say it's a nice day, where God's not asking you to be rude. You know, they may be some of our prospects. They need to get saved.
Right.
Number one, be kind. Number two, you witness to them like you do anybody else. Give them the gospel. Number three, don't argue. If you present the gospel to someone that is in a cult and they won't receive Jesus Christ, leave it at that. Go find somebody else that will receive Jesus Christ. But I'll watch people argue and argue and argue with people that are in cults. Argue and argue. Spend hours. Look, present the gospel. If they reject Jesus Christ, go across the street, find some long-haired hippie freak that don't believe anything, get him believing in Jesus, get him saved. Don't stand there and argue until you blew in the face with somebody that has rebelled against the doctrine of the Bible. Move on. But I do think it's fine. Give them the gospel, though. Nothing wrong with that. So be kind. Number two, witness like you would anybody else. Number three, don't argue. Number four, do not visit their so-called churches. Say, but they promised me if I'd go to theirs, they'd come to mine. Okay? So when the guy that owns the Millennium Club, the strip club, says, hey, you come on out. You spend a night at my organization, I'll come down to your church. Are you going? Come to my bar. I'll come to your church. Come to my church that doesn't believe the Bible. I'll come to yours, which does. Bad deal.
Right.
I do not believe Jesus Christ would recommend that at all. He would not recommend that you go down to the temple of Dagon, an Old Testament false god, spend a day there so they'll come over to yours for a little while.
Right.
Not at all.
Right.
You don't see that in the Bible. And so, what do we do? We're kind. What do? We witness to them. What do? We don't argue. What do? We don't visit their churches in exchange. What do? We don't listen to or read their materials. He said, but I want to be educated and read your Bible. I want to know about the cults. This old pure book right here will help you to know about the cults. You will not have to study the false to learn about the truth. Study the truth. Study the truth. Study the truth. Study the truth. You'll know how to handle it. Say, well, I just want to be well-versed. You know something? I have been soul winning for 30 years. I have not had to spend my life fighting and fussing with all the people from the cults. I just haven't. Every once in a while I come across one and I witness to them and then I just move on.
Amen.
And I'll tell you why. Because if they reject, I need to go and find a lost and dying world that won't reject. And there are so many that will accept. Let's not spend all of our time. And I don't even mean waste our time. I don't know that it is particularly a waste of time to try to win someone in a cult. I think it just may be less wise. Go find somebody that will trust Christ. But don't listen or read their materials. Study the Bible. And the Bible will help you to know what you need to know. The Bible says this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. In a lot of times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Over and over again, the Bible warns us about those things that are religiously false. You be careful of them.